This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's time for Dodger Baseball.
Welcome to Dodger Stadium.
Dodgers win!
This is the golden age of Dodger Baseball.
Grand slam! It's a double for Freddie.
They're going to make big signings. They're going to make impact trades. This is the most anticipated season in Dodgers history.
Dodgers have won it all in 2020.
Blue, bleed blue, and I'm out.
What's going on, Dodgers Nation? Welcome to the Dodgers Nation post-game show. My name is Doug McCain. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC_LA. Thanks for rocking with us after the Dodgers get the lose. They lose to the Cincinnati Reds. Final score of 6-9. Lots to unpack in this one. The offense looked better. The pitching regressed. The bullpen has been stout lately. Unfortunately, they did not get the job done today. Freddie Freeman, he gets hit by a pitch. He talked to reporters after the game. We got an update from that end. But first, if you haven't yet, be sure to subscribe to the Dodgers Nation YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. Hit that like button. And also, let me know where you represent Dodgers Nation from today. And also, give me your takeaways from tonight. Because, yes, the Dodgers now are on a three-game losing streak. And I know it's the regular season. I know it's May. But if you want a three-game losing streak in the NLDS, your season's over. So let's not get too overreactive on that end. But still, I think tonight's game, a couple of big takeaways. The first one has to be James Paxton. The command issues kind of reared their ugly head once again. And we're going to talk about his outing. We're going to talk about Chris Taylor, who got his first extra base hit of the season. Could we get some signs of life from Chris Taylor? I talked to Dodgers third base coach Dino Ebel a few days ago, and he told me that, look, they believe in Chris Taylor. They know that he is going to come through and get his way out of this. And he said that he's someone you want at the plate in a big moment, in a big game. So I think that's why you continue to stick with Chris Taylor if you're the Dodgers. If you are, it's for that reason, because you think that he can get hot in a big series in October and he can really help you because he has a track record and experience doing just that. We got in CT3, we believe, time for my therapy session. What up, Joe Renteria over there, propaganda. What up, Michael Carrillo, Gotani, Trevor Ellis. Yeah, if you haven't yet, be sure to subscribe to the channel and comment Gotani down below so you're eligible for our next giveaway, which is a brand new authentic gray Shohei Ohtani number 17 Dodgers jersey. So all you have to do is subscribe to the channel and comment Gotani down below. Look at CT3 Savant page. It's over. That's from Michael Carrillo. I think you could be right that he could struggle for this entire season. But I think I'm just telling from the organization standpoint, whether you think it's the right or the wrong decision, they still believe that inside Chris Taylor is a player that has a history of coming through big in the postseason. And he's also someone that is one of the core members of a group that really helped turn this franchise around and led to this long run of playoff appearances. I mean, I was just watching 2017 World Series last night for some reason because I'm sick. And it was just a different player. I mean, the first hit of the World Series was a home run from CT3 in game one. What up, DMAC? Checking your show out on my vacation in Orlando, Florida. What's up over in Orlando? Over at Disney World. Hopefully the Dodgers will visit there. Hopefully it'll be Disneyland, but you got Disney World, you got Universal Studios, Orlando. Cool place to visit. So thanks for rocking with us from Orlando. Still think Disneyland's better though. I see you, Doug. What up, BC? My man BC always rocking with us. Can anyone pitch? We're going to talk about Johan Ramirez. We're going to talk about Alex Vesia and the inning that really doomed the Dodgers today. And yeah, let's start right at the top. So First inning, Dodgers, really nothing doing. They get one hit, of course, a Mookie Betts leadoff single. Not a big night for Shohei Ohtani. Grounded into a fielder's choice. Freeman, he struck out swinging. Smith flied to left. And then right in that bottom of the first inning, Fairchild draws a leadoff walk. So that first at-bat there with James Paxton against Fairchild, you saw the command on the four-seam fastball. He was missing arm side. He was missing high. He was missing out of the zone. And that's when you start to have some concerns. Like, uh-oh, are we going to get a bad Paxton night? And then next batter, De La Cruz, he had a little sacrifice to the pitcher. He had the runner advance into scoring position with one out. And then next batter, Jamer Candelario, he gets ahead of Candelario, 0-2 in the count, and then four straight balls he was missing with the knuckle curve down in the zone. He was missing with the four-seam fastball up in the zone. So he just really could not find the zone. He couldn't find it high, couldn't find it down. He just really was struggling to find the edges. So really from a command standpoint, he was really rocky early on, and then next batter with runners on first and second, he falls behind once again. 3-0 count, and then he gets a strike looking there for the first strike. And then when you fall behind in counts, one thing that happens is hitters start to sit on fastballs, especially when you have runners on base. They know that you have to throw a fastball in the zone, and unless you have the best fastball in the game, you're throwing 98, 99, 100, occasionally hitters are going to take advantage of that, and Steer did just that. He hits a three-run shot to left center, 390 feet, and just like that, 3-0 Reds there in the bottom of the first inning. And that inning right there, look, you think, okay, it's the Great American Small Park. There's a Dodgers team that offensively, they've been really struggling in this stretch where they've gone 7-6 in the last 13 games. But thankfully, the Dodgers bounce back right away in the top of the second. Teoscar Hernandez, he draws a leadoff walk against Ashcraft. Then Lux, he reaches on an infield single. Really nice hustle by Gavin Lux. So sprinting down the line, puts runners on first and second. And then Lux, he's able to advance on a wild pitch. Same with Teoscar Hernandez. And that puts runners on second and third with Chris Taylor at the plate. You're like, oh no, big moment, Chris Taylor. There's no way he's going to come through, right? Wrong. CT3, he doubles to left.
It's a time. Strokes this ball in the inner center field. Fairchild on the move. He won't get there. Extra bases for Chris Taylor. A two-run double.
So CT doubles to left center there. That puts the Dodgers within one run. They scored two runs, and it was just really nice. Look, say what you want about Chris Taylor, and do I think that he's someone that should be guaranteed a spot on this team when everyone's healthy? Should he continue to play if he continues to struggle? No, I'm not saying that, but for someone to, at the very least, get above 100, right? Everyone cheer. That's the comment of the show so far. It's the moment of the show. Chris Taylor's batting over 100. He's CT three digits with his batting average, and that was his first extra base hit of the season. He hadn't had a batting average north of 100 since early April, and he ends the night with a 106 batting average. So baby steps for CT3, but let me ask you guys real quick, is that something, nothing, or everything? Do you think that Chris Taylor getting a double, do you think that somebody can build upon? BC says above 100 for now, give it time. Yes on CT3, that's from Mario Landaverde. Kelly O'Shea, Shohei seem less focused than usual. Wife Preggy, LOL. Okay, man, it's starting rumors there. Orlando, I love CT3. I'm riding with him till the wheels fall off. It's a fire take. Mickey Mouse hit by Taylor bought him 100 more games plus an extension. It's a bruh. I love it, though. It was a slider down the zone. Took full advantage of it. And look, we've seen Chris Taylor heat up and go on long stretches where it looks like he's one of the best hitters in the game, only to find a new low. And he's just a very streaky hitter. Dave Roberts told me that himself. And look, you just hope that for his sake that he can get some momentum from this, that he can build off this and make the most of his opportunity, because he hasn't been in there very many games in recent history, and he needs these opportunities to really build on that. And you wonder what this means for him, because Andy Páez hasn't looked great of late. He struggled, and you just need more production from your outfielders. But at the very least, he gets his first extra base hit of the season, and he's batting north of 100 for the first time since early April. I know that sounds a little ridiculous to try to tout that and celebrate that, but the bar has been set pretty low this season for Chris Taylor. And then you get the runs in that inning. The Dodgers able to get two off that. That makes it 3-2. And then Andy Páez, 1-2 count. He singles to right. That advances Chris Taylor to third, setting up the Dodgers with runners on the corners with Rojas, who is starting at third tonight. He ends up fouling to first. And then coming up next, Mookie Betts at the plate. He hits a ground rule double. That scores another run to tie it at three. And that worked out in the Reds' favor, the fact that it was a ground rule double, because if that stays on the field, you probably take the lead on that play. And then next batter, Shohei Ohtani, he grounds to short. That scored Páez to give the Dodgers a 4-3 lead. So not the best night for Shohei Ohtani. You didn't see the 400-plus foot blast or anything like that, but you did see a productive out right there, an RBI in that situation. And you're feeling good about the fact that the Dodgers bounce back right away. They're able to get four runs on four hits. Freddie Freeman, another guy we're paying close attention to with his struggles of late, he had an opportunity late in that inning with a runner on third, and he had Betts at third, and a 1-0 count, he flies to left to get out of the inning. So four runs on four hits, you'll take that if you're James Paxton. Then Paxton settled down. He did a really nice job of settling down. Did have some more walks in there, but then you go to the later in the game, after a fifth inning where the Dodgers were able to plate another run thanks to a Will Smith home run, making it 5-3. Bottom of the fifth inning, it was the nightmare inning for the Dodgers. A nightmare inning for LA. First, Fairchild, eighth pitch of the at-bat. Another full count for James Paxton. He crushes a bomb, 361 feet. That pulls the Reds within one, making the score 5-4. Couple batters later, he walks Steer on four pitches, and that was it. That was the end of his night, and like I said, this progress that he's made, this was a regression night. This was a regression night for James Paxton. It looked like he had cleaned up the walks. It looked like he had improved his command. Tonight was a different story. You saw lots of deep counts. He had four walks on the night. He wasn't able to get to the sixth inning, and that really has been the magic number for this Dodgers team. If you get six out of your starter, really good chance you're going to win. But tonight, James Paxton goes 4 2/3, allowed five runs on five hits, had four strikeouts through 95 pitches. But like I said, that is the magic number when you're watching the Los Angeles Dodgers. When you're watching your boys in blue, does the starting pitcher go six? If he does, they're probably going to win, because heading into this game, LA was 22-4 when they got six innings out of their starter. Now they're 11-16 when their starter does not reach that sixth inning. You're not going to get that every night, right? It's not a guarantee, right? It's a luxury to have all your starters go six, but with the health of this bullpen in question right now, and you're using a lot of these roster churn pieces, these guys you end up DFAing and guys you end up using in these situations, well, you're going to see some nights where if you have to go to those guys early, it's probably not going to work out. And they had to do that tonight, and they go into a inning where you use recently acquired Johan Ramirez. And
this episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ramirez, he was borderline awful. I mean, he was awful. He was atrocious in this one, just could not find the plate to save his life. And that really was the issue for him. Johan Ramirez, he ends up throwing 13 pitches. One of those pitches was a strike. Just one pitch was a strike. And that is a recipe for disaster, especially in Cincinnati in that ballpark. And you just look at the at-bats. You look at the Stevenson. He hits him by he's already down the count 3-0. And the fourth pitch, he hits him. And that's up and in. We saw what happened with him and Reese Hoskins earlier. And, yeah, we talked about him, how he has that dog in him. But that dog doesn't really bite unless you're able to perform. And he ends up hitting with a pitch. Then he walks Espinal on five pitches. Then he hits Martini in the knee. Martini. And that gave the Reds bases loaded. And in comes Alex Vesia. Vesia, he falls behind the count. And on the 3-2 pitch, got a four-seam fastball, leaves it up in the zone. In India, he crushes it for a grand slam. So, look, that's another example of if you're going to enter the ball game, you got to get strike one. You got to get ahead in the count, especially with the bases loaded. And when you fall behind, it's recipe for disaster. And look, Vesia has been really good lately. In his last 4 2/3 innings, he's had 6 strikeouts in the 4 appearances in his last 13 games. And he has been the Dodger that's been out there on the mound mostly. I mean, he's been the guy that they've turned to in these situations. No one's been out there on the mound more than Alex Vesia this season. He's appeared in 22 games now. And before this, he had a 1.23 ERA and a 30.6% strikeout rate in recent vintage, in his recent appearances. So, look, I mean, I think for Alex Vesia, it's a tough situation. He only gets burned for one of those runs, and then he comes back and he strikes out Herdebees. But, yeah, this bullpen does not inspire very much confidence. I'm not very high on the Dodgers bullpen right now, and it's unfortunate because their key pieces from last year, Evan Phillips, Ryan Brazier, Bruce Dark Gratterall, even Joe Kelly late in the year, they're all injured, and you're going to start to feel those effects. We got Juan Jimenez. Johan needs to go stop with these reclamation projects. Hey, you don't mess with the Johan, or you do mess with the Johan. C's a little more than something. We got swelling sausage. Dodgers need to go all in on Mason Miller. What do you think? I mean, I think that, look, they're going to make a trade. They're going to add a bat. You may add a pitcher. Could you get a shortstop? I think Mason Miller, he doesn't fit with what this Dodgers team typically does at the trade deadline when it comes to relievers because he's under so much team control. I mean, 7 years pre-arbitration. You're going to have to give up a lot to get him. So it's just not consistent with what this team typically does in those situations. So I would be surprised, but at the end of the day, let's kind of see what this team has when they get fully healthy. You're going to have to add a reliever no matter what. I would prefer if you're not going to have to give up too much prospect capital. If you're going to use 2 of your top 10 prospects at this trade deadline, I'd rather use those for a shortstop. I'd rather use those for an impact bat. I'd rather use those for a starting pitcher potentially if you need one at that point. And then you could try to get a more affordable reliever, someone like Tanner Scott of the Miami Marlins. Yeah, a guy that is only has one more year team control, right? He's has an expiring contract, right? He'll be a free agent this offseason. So, look, Mason Miller would be great. Trust me. I watched that game against the Rockies yesterday, gave up some hits in extra innings, but I think it kind of remains to be seen if teams are truly going to give up 2-3 top prospects for him, because you're going to need to, because he's a fireballer and he's establishing himself as one of the most elite closers in this game at a very, very young age. But Paxton is fool's gold. He walks too many batters. That's for Mr. 40-ounce Killa 81. Alex, the wheels already fell off. Denny Cortez, Shohei's not getting enough sleep. He needs at least 12 hours. That'll be the last out. What an idiot for a manager. That's from Donald Fairchild. Hayward is worse than CT3. Chief, wheels have already fallen off CT3. There is no side up to him. So, yeah, you guys, some are completely selling all their CT3 stocks. Some are saying, okay, maybe this means something. Look, you guys know how I feel about this. Takes more than one game to get into a slump. Takes more than a game to get you out of a slump. I just wonder if they're going to give him enough consistent at-bats to see what he can be. Is he just going to be a number 26 guy on your roster, end of the bench type guy? Right now, that's what he is. Happy D-Mac got a home run. That's from Arcade Light Grid. Yeah, Will Smith did leave the yard today, and that's nothing about this game, too. I mean, it was 9-6, but there was two defensive plays tonight that really, really changed the game. And it really hurt the Dodgers. I mean, Stuart Fairchild made two spectacular plays in the outfield and center field in the sixth inning. Betts' fly out to center. That would have been a solo shot in a handful of parks in Major League Baseball. That would have given them a run. And then the seventh inning was the one that really was a killer as well. Will Smith, after a Freddie Freeman single, a nice play by Fairchild. He robs him of what could have been a two-run home run, or at least a double off the wall that could have scored Freddie Freeman. And then you would have continued to build momentum. And the Dodgers had their opportunity in this one. They truly did. And that's definitely a Mitch Lotta half full tank, is that they definitely came alive offensively. You had multiple home runs, you had extra base hits, you had runners aboard all night. They out hit the Reds 11-6 in this one. They scored six runs after scoring less than four runs a game their last 13. So the positives are the offense scored runs. They scored more than they have lately. I mean, you put six runs across, you're going to feel pretty good about your chances. And you created yourself some opportunities in this one, too. On the night, the Dodgers, they go 3-for-14 with runners in scoring position. And you leave 11 men on base. So you want to cash in those situations, but at least you created those situations. That's something to build upon. And then some more slumping Dodgers continue to have some success. Gavin Lux, another game with a hit for Gavin Lux. It was an infield single, but he goes 1-for-4. Chris Taylor goes 1-for-4 with his first base hit that goes for extra bases on the year. Ends up with two RBI in this one. A base hit for Andy Pajes. He goes 1-for-5. Rojas, he's starting to come down to earth. He goes 0-for-3 tonight. His batting average falls to .250. Jay Hay, another guy who's been struggling of late since he made his way back, he gets a base hit today. He's been very aggressive, swinging at pitches at an above average rate. So he's out there swinging the bat. He just hasn't seen those results. And then you get another home run from Teoscar Hernandez. So late in the game, the Dodgers trying to make a run at this one. And Teoscar Hernandez, he steps to the plate in the ninth inning. And Teoscar Hernandez, he crushes a solo shot to right, eight pitch to the at bat. That makes it 9-6. And then after that, not much doing. Kike, he struck out swinging. Taylor flied to right. And then Pajes, he flied to center. But there were some opportunities. I mean, the top of the eighth inning, Jason Hayward, he singled to right with one out, so you get a one-out single. Then Betts, he drew a walk. That set the Dodgers up with runners at second and third. Otani popped to short. And then Freddie Freeman, he was hit by a pitch, and he was hit right here on the meaty part of the arm. So thankfully, no bone on bone. He told reporters after the game that he's going to be fine. It doesn't appear that's going to be any issue or anything like that. He stayed in the game. And then you have the bases loaded, the tying run at the plate. And Will Smith on the 1-0, he lined to second. So I would like to see a little better of an at-bat from Will Smith in that situation. Take some pitches, work that count, put some pressure on the pitcher there, and at the very least, pass the baton. You're not looking for a grand slam there. You're just looking to get a runner in, get a couple runners in.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You just continue to pass that baton in this lineup. So, yeah, a wacky game. You had multiple hit batters. I mean, you had the Reds pitchers going up and in and hitting guys. You had the Dodgers pitchers going up and in, hitting guys with Johan Ramirez. But all in all, I mean, this Dodgers team, 33-20 on the season. Reds, 21-30. So you lost to a bad team on the road, and you gave up 9 runs. And I think the biggest long-term takeaways for me on this one are, yeah, look, Johan Ramirez, get ready to be off this roster, right? He's not a long-term solution. He's not going to be someone that's going to have a big impact in this bullpen. James Paxton kind of makes you wonder what his ceiling is. I think when he's right there with Gavin Stone. But, I mean, at the moment, I think Gavin Stone is the more reliable pitcher at the moment. I mean, he's not getting chased out of games. He's not giving up these home runs that you're seeing James Paxton give up. And really the command issues outside of a couple of games there have been bad all season long for James Paxton. So hopefully this was just a blip and he goes back to being the guy we saw in his last couple starts, and he's not the guy that we saw tonight, because unfortunately the walks that he issues, I mean, that gets the pitch count up, and that unfortunately makes it where he can't even eat it, right? He can't go out there and just eat innings like they want him to do on a one-year deal, and that unfortunately taxes the bullpen, and it just makes everything difficult, and that's when you lose a game that you give up 9 runs. But like I said, hopefully, I mean, last two starts, he gave up no walks. Start before, they gave him 2 walks, where in April, in his 5 starts, he had issued 22 walks in 25 2/3 innings. And before this start, that was down to 2 walks in 18 2/3 innings. So he clearly addressed that issue. He had a 1.93 ERA in 3 starts heading into this one. So heading into this one, no, that's actually for tonight's as well. So he has a 1.93 ERA even with tonight's. Oh, no, that was the one at home against Cincinnati. And then you factor in. So last start was at Cincinnati as well. So a 1.93 ERA in 3 starts before tonight. And yeah, you're going to have your clunkers. But really, I think for this team, you just hope that this offense can really turn things around, because they've been slumping of late. And you just really want to find some continuity in the bullpen. You truly want to do that. Dave Look Mad, LMAO, Kenny Chung. Hey, the Phillies lost the Rockies tonight. Hey, look, it's baseball. You can't win them all. Ray Soto, guys, Big Maple is our number 4, number 5 starter. Came in 5-0, really. Look, that's the thing. You can't treat all these guys like, I mean, Austin Barnes, he's a backup catcher. James Paxton, he's your number 5 starter, right? Gavin Lux, he's batting at the bottom of the lineup, right? Not all these guys should be held to the standard of, he should be an all-star. He should be a foundational guy. He should be a core member. No, you just need some role players, and you want them to at least have success in their role. But I agree with you, Ray Soto, on those expectations. But Brazier is washed. That's from Michael Carrillo. Hepatitis C, later. It seems like they always have to give the geezers like Blake Treinen and Daniel Hudson a week off every time. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. The availability of this bullpen, I mean, with a complement of arms in that situation, I mean, you went to Johan Ramirez there, a guy that they – You at least feel okay about, just because he looked pretty decent in his Dodgers debut, and you at least want to get everything you can get out of him. And that's really the reason why the Dodgers are doing this. The reason why you're doing this roster churn with that 26th roster spot, and you saw what happened with Salazar, and you saw what happened with Nabil Crismat. I mean, the reason why you're doing that is because you want to take as many innings off your current bullpen pieces and your starting rotation. And you realize that you're in May and that you're playing the long game and you're trying to keep as much in the tank for October. But, I mean, at the same token, you don't know what to trust. I mean, you don't know if really, I mean, you don't know what these guys truly have. And this is only the second time we saw Johan Ramirez in his first appearance against the Diamondbacks earlier in the week. He went two innings, had no strikeouts, allowed two hits, but it wasn't terrible. It wasn't awful, but kind of a difficult situation for him to go in there and guarantee he's going to have some success. So I think that really for this team, you definitely want to make some trades for some bullpen pieces sooner or later. I think Ricky Venasco, too. I mean, Venasco comes up. He doesn't even get an opportunity. I want to see what Ricky Venasco has. I want to see what Ricky Venasco can do. And look, I think that is kind of what you need to weigh. The internal options that are on the farm versus the guys you're bringing in off the scrap heap. What are you going to get out of those guys, right? And then when do the currently injured guys come back healthy? I mean, they're definitely tiptoeing it right now, man. I mean, it is a high wire act with this bullpen because you just don't know who's going to be available on a given day. Daniel Hudson and Blake Treinen really are their two best relievers right now, and it's early in the game to bring them in. So, unfortunately, I think if you're Doc, you're just in a tough situation, right? Dave Robertson go out there and throw one strike in 13 pitches, right? I mean, you can only play the hand that you're dealt. And unfortunately, the cards that he has right now out of the bullpen, they're not a winning hand. Nando 390, tired of these trash random bullpen pieces. What's up, Nando? Joe Renteria, you can't hit the curve. Should have let Paxton finish the inning. That's another thing I was thinking, too, and I'm with you. That was the first thing that I had in my notes is just at that point, you're not desperate for wins, right? You're not desperate for wins right now. You're cruising your division. James Paxton, yes, he was struggling on the night. Yes, he was at 95 pitches. But, I mean, look, like I said, anytime you have a starting pitcher in his mid-30s-ish and he's on a one-year deal, you drive him like a rented car. If you're at a rented car, you just drive the heck out of that thing, right? Because you know it's you don't own it. You're not going to buy it, right? So I think for me, in that situation, you have two options. If you're going to go with Ramirez, he's the mystery box, right? I mean, yeah, it was against the Diamondbacks. He went two innings earlier in the week, but this is more of a high-leverage situation on the road. Your offense has already given you some offense and some production, so you want to take advantage of that. I think it's a situation where you could have left Ramirez in there. Oh, you could have left Paxton in there instead of opting for Ramirez. Dong Kim, the extra days to accommodate for Yamamoto, wrinkle rhythm for the rest of the lineup, possibly. Wasn't Paxton pitching on an extra day of rest? Same with Glasnow Wednesday. Look, all these guys are pitching on varying days of extra rest. And most of his starts this year for Yamamoto have been on that Japanese MPB schedule with the additional day of rest. And same thing goes for James Paxton. They're playing that game pretty much the entire season at this point. So I think for me, that definitely can throw guys off. I mean, I've talked to pitchers where they don't want that schedule. They think that it hurts their rhythm. It hurts their recovery time. I mean, it's just really, I mean, it's interesting to see how they're going to play that. But for the most part, the starting pitching of late, you've seen them go deep into games. You've seen them get six inning starts. You see them getting seven inning starts. So it has been working for them. But for guys like James Paxton, he was grooving, right? He was in a groove. And then tonight, the command issues, they reared their ugly head once again. So it's definitely something they're going to be juggling. Yo, quick glazing the Yankees in this chat. We got Chilltown All-Star Ohtani was striking people out during the offensive slump last year. No pitching this year, so bad games are more glaring. That's a good point. I mean, you know, if he's having a bad stretch offensively and he comes out and strikes out 10 guys, you're going to focus on that. Rojas will finish below average per usual. That's from BC. They need a shortstop. You guys know that, look, I've said it the whole season. I never loved the idea of Mookie Betts at short. He did make some pretty nice plays today. And the good thing too, that offense continues to be there. The offense has not slid for Mookie Betts. And I think that as long as that continues, it buys him more time to get more experience for that position. I mean, tonight, Mookie goes 3-for-4. He could have easily gone 4-for-4 with a home run added to his totals, and you're looking at an elite MVP night for Marcus Lynn Betts. So he was great offensively. Ohtani goes 0-for-5, did have the RBI there. Freddie Freeman goes 1-for-4. Smith goes 1-for-5. So really, I think you're starting to see with this team when Ohtani slugs. Got to dive into the numbers on that one. But when Ohtani slugs, this team really wins a ton of games. And you really want to see Mookie and Ohtani start to have big games together too a little more often. But like anytime you get 11 hits, you got to feel pretty good about that. 11 hits and 3 home runs. And you get 2 doubles. I mean, offensively, you want to come through more in some of those run scoring opportunity situations and take advantage of that and capitalize on those situations, runners in scoring position. But really tonight, you'll lose the game because of that 5th inning and the command issues. That really was the nail in the coffin in this one. But let's go right to the comments here, guys. Yeah, Doug, you could have done a lot better in that at bat. I definitely think I could have. I'm going to give myself Dodger dog of the game. D-Mac, if the Dodgers don't get to the World Series, will Doc be in the hot seat? Arcade Light Grid. First of all, it's a fire take because it's a really valid question. And my answer to that is it depends on how, okay? If they don't get to the World Series because they didn't make the postseason, well, we know that's not going to happen, then absolutely. If they don't get to the World Series because they lost in the divisional round, they lost in the NLDS, I would say absolutely. If they don't get to the World Series because they got swept in the NLCS and there's a couple of moves in some of those games that you can directly link to Dave Roberts and he owns up to those moves and that was a big reason why, I would say possibly. And I think all those scenarios, the higher he gets, it becomes, okay, why did they lose? Had they lose? Because if they go to the NLCS and they're dealing with injuries to key players and they go deep in that series, then I think he probably sticks around and there's no doubt about it. But the question is he on the hot seat? I think that really is the big question at that point, because I think for the Dodgers, you look at this core is set in stone, right? I mean, now that Will Smith is under contract for a long term, you signed that 10-year, $140 million deal. You have your 1-4 locked in, and the changes you can make are only going to be managerial and through the coaching staff. So if they underperform, he's going to be the guy that's going to have to fall on the sword. So I do think there's a world where at the very least, even if it's not internally, it's going to be a lot of pressure from the media, from the fans, because he's the one guy that you can actually change, right? As far as your lineup, you can't. The pitching, Yamamoto and Glasnow are locked in. So I think for Dave Roberts, if he gets the World Series, that completely keeps him off the hot seat, right? And then the NLCS is the interesting one because I think it depends on how they get out of that one. Just think, this is a team that has won one postseason game in the last 2 years and has got bounced in the NLDS. So it's almost going to feel like a big win just to get past the NLDS round this season. But I do think there is a world where depending on how they lose, if they lose, he could find himself on the hot seat. I mean, how hot will that hot seat be? That's all depending on just how it goes down. But luck should be on the Marlins, and we should have Arias. That's from David Jinzo over on YouTube. Paxton was struggling. Steven Blevins Paxton could have gotten out of the 5th. Yeah, we talked about that, and I agree. It's a path I would have taken. Roberts making Roberts moves.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
From Kenny Chung. Look, you know, we call ourselves the hindsight hyenas, right? I mean, it's always easy looking back. And I think a lot of these situations, it's a coin flip and it's 50-50 at times. And you look at tonight, Johan did not have it. And he probably is not going to be on this team that much longer. Adam A1A, Dave Roberts does not play baseball anymore. Jeremy H, at least Mookie and Teo look good tonight. A lot of guys look good tonight. Mookie, Teo look great. Freddie got a hit. Didn't look great, but did get a hit. I mean, Pahez got a hit. Chris Taylor got a double. Lux got another hit. I mean, there was production. Jason Hayward got a hit. So, yeah, I think that these guys look like they took advantage of having a travel day, a day where they're not playing a baseball game, and sometimes you need that day off. They look a little more refreshed out there. You're focused on the road. So there are some positives in this game, for sure. The Michelada half-full takes were there, and you just – want to put together a good game tomorrow. I mean, you got Buehler and you got Yamamoto for the rest of this series. So you have to feel pretty good about going 2 out of 3 if we see the Buehler we saw in his last start. Jacob Watkins says, Doc is a great players manager. You can see the connection the guys have with him, but he has no feel for the moment. Pryor needs to be in Doc's ear, calling all the shots, when to pull and who comes in. Mike Shell says, I would rather have the Dodgers shaky now than in September. Even with the slump, they're still 6.5 games better than San Diego. Mike, that's a fire take. I totally agree. Because what do we always complain about? The Dodgers peaking too early, right? The Dodgers being the best team in baseball in May and June and July, but then they don't win baseball games when it matters most. So, yeah, I'm all for that, and I'm all for just using this time to figure things out, and then you're not going to have any regrets, too. When you give guys like Gavin Lux and Pahez and guys that are young that you're not guaranteed to see them as major contributors if they don't perform, I think that when you give these guys the runways, you give them the opportunities, then if you do make a move, you make a trade, you move things around, you shuffle some things around, then you don't regret it because you gave them a thorough chance to figure things out and see if they could be a key piece for this team. And I think that Lux is really building, man. It's baby steps with Gavin Lux for sure. But here we go, a couple more. We got, what up, D-Mac? What's going on con los Doyers? That's from Low Blue over on YouTube. Nando says, bullpen sucks worse than Lance Lynn. It's a fire take. To finish him, actually.
Finish him.
Go down here. We got, win or lose, I still bleed blue. That's from Imhotep Lives. It's a comedy show. Why does Ohtani always look scared of inside pitches? He backs away. Adam A1A, I want to see that. I mean, he looks them in for sure. He's definitely not scared, especially when you look at all the equipment he has on. Terry Hesticles. I can't believe, bruh, your name is, I'm going to start calling you TH. Not worried at all for tonight's loss. Was happy to see Mookie getting 3 hits. D-Mac, Ramirez is trash. He's not a high leverage guy. The Mets let him go. Alex Renteria, he's been on like 7 teams in the last couple of years, and there's a reason why. I mean, if everyone stinks, you're probably the one who stinks. Okay, let's be honest about that. JKid323, this is why I love the Phillies and Yankees. They let their pitchers go deep and allow them to get out of trouble while Dave Roberts is quick to pull a pitcher. Yeah, he was Captain Hook tonight. I agree. I mean, look, you guys know I'm pretty fair with Dave, and I think tonight is a situation where, I mean, just the unpredictability of Johan Ramirez and what he could give you in that situation and the command issues that he's had, I think that I'd rather just see if Ramirez can, if Paxton can get you out of that inning. But a couple more here, guys. Mookie for sure can't be the shortstop in the postseason when it matters most. That's from Alexandria U. Yeah, we're going to talk more about that tomorrow, too, for sure. Because after speaking with Dino Ebel, one thing that really stood out to me is just how obsessed Mookie is at just being an adequate, average shortstop, doing his best. He wants to be his very best. But sometimes your best is league average, and that's how difficult it is to be a shortstop, right? So I just think that at some point we're going to really have enough of a sample to evaluate it. And if you saw during the game, I mean, most of the errors for Mookie aren't even coming on fielding. They're on the throws. And I think that it's a really good representative and an indication that, look, Mookie's the epitome. He epitomizes what it is to be a great teammate, stepping into that role. But still, I mean, the fact that you're just not making those throws, it lets you know that this is something that has a cannon. Just look at his throws from right field, right? I mean, the guy has an absolute bazooka out there, but that doesn't mean you're going to have a shortstop arm, right? Because it has to be a quicker release. You have to have that ability to just throw even when your feet aren't set. And that takes time to develop. And I think that's kind of the issue that you see with Mookie Betts. And also, yeah, sometimes when the ball's not hit to him, I mean, when it's hit to him, he's making those plays, routine plays, but you're not necessarily seeing him from a range standpoint getting to balls that some other shortstops would be able to get to. But Don Kim, India was 0-for-14 before that grand slam. LOL. Yeah, that really hurt, man. Definitely hurt. I hope they DFA Ramirez and call up JP Fireisen. Yeah, JP Fireisen has been looking really good of late, and I'm definitely feeling better about the prospect of him having a role for this team. I think you have to understand that he's been out for quite some time, missed the entire last season, but they traded for him knowing he was going to be out for that entire year, and you're seeing a much better version of JP. Need a shortstop or else Mookie will be done. LOL crickets about that. Yeah, Dave will get a 10-year extension from Adam 818. Paxton had two outs, a man on first, and Roberts takes him out at the particular point. I will celebrate Roberts getting fired from Bilal. Okay, that's what we're talking about. I mean, yeah, look, I mean, if you go back to that inning, and it's frustrating. And I think for me, it's, look, you know, with James Paxton, you're looking for 20, 22 starts maybe, right? And he's already in this game and he hasn't missed a start yet. Just come on. I mean, it's the Reds, right? It's the Cincinnati Reds on the road. You're not desperate to win. And you look at that inning right there. And yes, he did give up the home run to Fairchild, but after that steer walk, I mean, for me, I'm taking around that situation. I mean, you just need one out to get right there. I mean, gave the homer to Fairchild. De La Cruz grounded to second. Candelario popped out to second. He walked steer in those four pitches, and that was it. And then Ramirez came in, and they put up four runs. So it really was the game right there. You could point to it. And hopefully, kind of learning lesson here is, look, if you don't have that bullpen aligned like you want it, and you don't have guys available in those situations, it's just best to let that starter try to find his way out of harm's way. But Robert stinks. You guys are rough on Robert's night. Doc is the worst postseason manager. He makes horrible decisions. He gets away from what got him there every single year. Look, Dave's been good this year for the most part. Tonight was not his best night, though. I will say that. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Dodgers Nation postgame show. A quick one today, but we're going to be back tomorrow. So be sure to join us. We're dropping more interviews tomorrow. So be sure to check out the channel and make sure you're always commenting GOATani down below. That way you're eligible to win. Let's do some walk-off shots right here. Fire the hitting coaches as well from Joe Renteria. Funny, all you at home making comments. Eduardo Delgado. That's funny, Eduardo. Reminds me of that Tommy Lasorda quote where he says, if I listen to all the fans in the stands, I listen to all those fans out there yelling at me, making suggestions, I'm going to be sitting there right with them. So, hey, it's always fun to be a armchair Monday morning quarterback. But Halibut Killer, D-Mac, do you think the Dodgers go after a shortstop before the trade deadline? I think it's very possible depending on who's available. I mean, recently, Andrew Friedman had doubled down on the idea of Mookie Betts at shortstop and noting the improvements that he's made. But I think it really depends on a couple things. One, who's available? Does Bo Bichette hit the market? Does Willy Adames hit the market? Are there other available options out there? Two, you communicate with Mookie Betts. Do you still want to continue with this? If he does and he's adamant on it, then they're going to go with that. I don't know how I feel about a player deciding that, but I think it hopefully will be a collaborative decision. And then three, I think it comes down to, what's the move with Gavin Lux? Is he included in the deal? Do you move Mookie to right field? I mean, there's a lot of moving parts in this, but I do think that this team's always open to improving their roster. And if the right guy becomes available, I think they might consider, because even if you like Mookie this year, the idea of him being a long-term solution at shortstop, that's just, it's not going to happen. It's unrealistic. And after what happened with Gavin Lux and the throwing issues, is that truly a viable option as well? So package Lux with prospects for Bichette. I love how we've been talking about Bichette here for a long, long time. And I think it's good to see, it's just fun and exciting just to always see who's available. I think it's going to be interesting to see, will the Toronto Blue Jays truly tear things down. Because, look, I mean, you look at guys like Bo Bichette. You get the remainder of this year and next season. You could consider an extension, a long-term deal. Guys like Vladimir Guerrero Jr., if you're going to trade those type of players for prospects, well, you're going to hope those prospects turn into players like Bo Bichette, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., right? So it's always difficult. But the kicker with Bichette is that it's been reported by a couple insiders now that he doesn't intend to sign there long term. And anytime you're not going to sign with them long term, you got to get something or you're going to end up with nothing. So what time tomorrow? Y'all be going on right after the game. D-Mac is the Mac, man. What up, Professor? What up, Roy? What up, Jay Bullet? Goat. Goatay. I like that. I like that. Goatay Himani. That's my comment of the show.
Fire take
of the show and my comment of the show. But that is going to do it, guys. Thanks again for rocking with us here on the Dodger Perfect. Nation post-game show. My name is Doug McCain. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC_LA. Remember, nothing brings us together quite like Dodger baseball. Okay, Richard Flores, what was your super chat? I'm really sorry. I don't got my producer tonight. Hey, Doug, no love for my super chat. Richard Flores, I always love your tweets. I love your setup. I like your takes. Just fire away fire your question away in the next thing without the super chat, and then I'll just read it unless I can go back and see it right here. But I appreciate that super chat here. Let's see. Kepler is available. Yeah, we've talked about Kepler too. And we will bring him. We'll revisit that tomorrow. I mean, I'm going to do a whole other batch of potential trade options that we can do. Go Tani. We got Yankee fans in the chat. No Bichette. You want CJ Abrams. We got Mookie can't throw sidearm. He's kind of throwing sidearm, that's for sure. Alexander, you Dodgers need Juan Soto. They got the money, honestly. For Juan Soto, all you got to do is, I mean, you got the money, man. I mean, you got the deferred money. You got all the money he's generating with Shohei Ohtani. David, Toronto will not help out the Dodgers after the Ohtani ordeal. That's definitely something that you can is a factor. Let's just put it that way. Bueller time tomorrow for Victor Bonios. All right, guys, that's going to do it for this episode. See you guys next time. Remember, nothing brings us together quite like Dodger baseball. And until next time, think blue.